Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast.
Hi, my name is Jaspreet.
Hi, and I'm Victor.
We have Ivan with us, our third-year medical student from University of Birmingham. And today we'll be talking about imposter syndrome. So Ivan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So yes, I'm Ivan. I'm a third-year medical student at the University of Birmingham, and I'm midway through my journey at medical school, enjoying it so far. But I think the topic that is relevant of imposter syndrome is partly due to my first year, where I didn't feel as integrated in medicine. Fortunately, I've developed strategies to help with that, but I have general interests in like surgery, cardiology, and just like major trauma. And I think those can all be of cultures or rotations that can exacerbate that due to the competitiveness work environment with that. Aside from medicine, or in terms of portfolio wise, I've done a bit of research in the QE and other hospitals locally. I do a bit of teaching here and there, which I think is also very relevant to imposter syndrome. And I'm a mentor myself to younger medical students and a mentee from consultants and people in specialist training, which is going to be relevant due to the management and help associated with imposter syndrome.
What does imposter syndrome mean to you, and have you experienced it personally?
So having read about imposter syndrome, I think it was first coined in like 1978 by two psychologists, Clance and Imes, and it essentially meant that you have a perception of doubt, even in this like face of success, and you have a fear of being like found out, even though you might have succeeded completely on your own basis. And I think it's relevant to me in medicine because medicine attracts such competitive, applicants, and the whole journey is very competitive. There's competitive nature, and it still is that today. So I think it just attracts quite a lot of imposter syndrome day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. Right from the get-go, from applications, isn't it? The competition is competition is high, and it remains high through your career. So is it something that you think that you have experienced at?
I wouldn't say chronically or consistently, but here and there. I'm only third year medical student, but so 3 years compared to, say 20 years plus for a consultant. But I have had a few episodes here and there where you just sit and think that, have I got this far because of my own, or is it because of luck? Is it because, I've had great people around me, whatever, maybe some good mentors here and there. So yeah.
And I think the key word there initially is that doubt, isn't it? That can creep in, especially when you're amongst other people working at such high levels. As we said, from the get-go of the applications, because the competition is high quite early on, When do you think the first time you might have felt, should I be here? Do I qualify to be here? When do you think the first time might have been?
I think probably early first year, because that's when you start to realise who you surround yourself with and who you're going to be stuck with for the next 5 years of medical school, and then plus into the field of medicine. It's just like you see all these people from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic groups, maybe different family histories, maybe their family's doctors, whatever, and you just start to think that actually maybe they were better off, or maybe they are much more hardworking, maybe they did something that I didn't, maybe they've got an experience that I haven't already got, and that kind of sets you aside compared to them, and you're like, should I be here? Am I worthy of being here, sort of thing.
And has that affected you, like your academic performance or your clinical rotations? Because I assume that's very much during your clinical rotation that you feel that way.
So a bit of both. So during the first years of pre-clin, yes, because you start to think, I've got to overcompensate. I've got to, work like 10, 12 hours a day to compensate for someone who can get by with a few hours here and there. But Yeah, clinically as well, you start to walk around with the junior doctors and consultants and be like, this is what I'm supposed to be then in my training, and you know, 3 years in, you still don't, you can have feelings here and there that you're not.
Trust me, even at our level, we don't know sometimes what we're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you start a new rotation, or, you know, at almost at each level of the job, you're entering a new environment. I think we're one of the, I'd say one of the line of works where there's always just such a vast range of seniority across the different specialties that you'll enter. So there's always someone you're looking at that, you know, do I qualify?
I think it's also that constant, like, learning new skills and like feeling like you're not adequate enough. Mm-hmm. But we forget that, like, we're learning so much more than any other job.
And I think medical school as well, you know, most medical students were the top people, respectfully, that some of the, you know, the cleverest or most hardworking or, you know, et cetera, in their sixth form schools. And then once you put all the medical students in a room and culture, then you start to think, oh, maybe I was one of the better ones at school, better ones at sixth form. And then you put them all in the same lecture hall in first year, and it's like some people won't feel the same way anymore because you've put them all together and you're like, wow, this is the competition I've been put against and faced with.
Do you think there's an element of us kind of doing this to ourselves with the, you know, expectations that we set for ourselves, or just the medical culture in general? Do you think there's an element of us contributing there?
I think there's a healthy dose of both, because it is perceptual. It is perceptual in the sense that, you know, you perceive it that way, but that's not to say there's some underlying medical culture behind it in the, you know, it's a stepwise hierarchy still, you know, the traditional hierarchy of medicine. Mm-hmm. That's still there. You know, criticism and feedback is still going to be there. Doing new ward rounds or learning new skills. Even say you don't enjoy clinical rotation as much, you're going to be less likely to, you know, less encouraged to attend it and do well in it. And so, yeah, it is perception, but maybe it's also lack of encouragement and the medical culture too.
So it sounds like there's an element of us and the culture that we create and how it can allow this kind of emotions to fester. Okay, so kind of looking forwards, what are the kinds of habits do you think you might have used, or strategies that you might have used to kind of combat this? Or what do you think we can do as a healthcare community to support one another?
I think starting off individually, so just by yourself, I think celebrate your small successes here and there, day-to-day successes, whether that's, you know, got a patient referral or management credit as a medical student, you know, learning, or maybe doing the revision that you intended to do, send out the emails you need to do a ward round, successfully doing an exam. I think just celebrate the successes on a day-to-day basis, and I think set a goal that is achievable. Because I think non-achievable goals or very high expectancy, yeah, they make you work hard for it and grind, you know, put in the work for it. But at the same time, it's not realistic. So you're setting yourself up for even worse, or maybe failure at that point, which is only going to be worse. So I think celebrate your little successes and just know that you've got into medical school. That's already a very competitive, you know, you had to beat a lot of other people application wise. So to get past that stage, then to get past each year, so take each year on its own, I think you have to owe yourself quite a good amount of credit for that. In terms of the wider community, I think you need to establish a good set of peers. I'm very fortunate, I have some very good friends who constantly check on my well-being because of my work ethic and other things alongside that. And they message me and they're, well, do that. So I say a good peer support group. And one thing I've recently discovered that's helped a lot is mentors. So I have a few consultants who I will have a meeting with every month or message and check in about research and, you know, applications over that. But they also always ask, like, how are you actually doing? Have you taken time out for yourself? What do you do? Do you still do this activity? Do you still go out and see people? So I think mentors, peer net, like networking, and just celebrate your little successes day by day.
Amazing. I think celebrating yourself and those little wins is something that you can, because you can easily get bogged down by the amount of work. There's always the next thing to do, there's always another assessment around the corner. But I think, yeah, it's a very important point, just taking the time, you know, step back, you have achieved a lot just getting into med school in the first place, starting F1. These are all achievements worth celebrating. And even in just the day-to-day, I think, you know, you get that really difficult cannula on the wards, just celebrate those small wins, and it can go a long way to being reassuring. And the other point about mentorship, I think that's also, you know,
I think it's come a long way that, like, nowadays consultants do ask you, like, how are you doing, mm-hmm. rather than have you achieved this, have you achieved that. So I think that's very important when you feel that your seniors are supporting you, mm-hmm. and checking in on you to make sure that you're right.
Yeah, and having that support network as well, you know, having the peer support, again, brilliant. On the point of mentorship, I don't know if you've had any particular mentors over the year, but yeah, I've definitely benefited from something like that. So I had a GP for a while, a GP down in London, and, you know, we'll meet virtually every maybe month or so, and it's just good to have someone senior there you can check in with, to see how you are doing, maybe even give you suggestions on opportunities to look out for and things like that. Again, they all add up, and, you know, they go a long way to reassure you that, yes, you know, you are here, you've done the work needed to get here, you are contributing, I think all that is important.
I think, unfortunately, that imposter syndrome becomes a bit more prevalent, or has its flare-ups during the transitional stages. So getting into medical school, into the clinical years, into junior doctor, into specialty, into registrar. So it's during the transitional stages. Not to say people don't experience it in between, but I think that could kind of use it to your benefit, in the sense that when you transition to be a junior doctor or specialist trainer or whatever, that you can look backwards knowing, yes, I may have just started this part of my career, this chapter of my book sort of thing, but look at how far you've come, look at how many chapters you had before, and if you're going into junior doctorship or resident doctorship now, as it is, you know, you've completed medical school. If you're going to special training, you've done your residence doctorship. If you're a new consultant, you've done most of your medical training. So I think that's what I kind of mean by celebrating your successes.
Yeah.
I think especially, I think people feel it a lot more when, like, they switch rotations as well. They've come from, like, something that, you know, because we all have, like, 4 month rotations. And then by the end of it, you feel like you know everything. And then all of a sudden, you need to switch. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like,
And if I think back as well, even as a medical student, you know, often you're just like spending a week on a ward, isn't it? And then after the week, you're in a completely different ward or a completely different hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think, as you said, those transitions, they can create that kind of environment, isn't it? So we've looked at kind of some strategies, and on the point of measurable ways of knowing that, yes, you are here because you've done the work that's needed. I think that's also something that's worth noting, isn't it? You know, you've passed your exams, you've passed your OSCEs. There are objective, measurable ways that you have shown your competency to be where you are. So why should that feeling of doubt creep in, or let it creep in? What do you think about that, you know?
I think, again, it's imposter syndrome. It can affect people of all, you know, ranges and from diversity, etc. And I think, why should we let it creep in? I think it's just a natural process that if you have too much success, it'll set in. If you don't have success, it'll set in. If you're anywhere on that spectrum, it will set in at some point, because, again, due to the culture, due to the nature, doesn't matter if you're winning or not in that sense, it's going to set in at some point. And that's just down to the culture of medicine.
So do you think it's more common in the medical field?
I do think so, and that's, I'm not saying medicine specifically, but compared to, say, your average, you know, the average of all the other courses, yes, it will. And I think that's just purely down to who it attracts, because most medical students do have some maybe underlying perfectionism, or, you know, obsessive, like, OCD sort of stuff, or just very good organisation, staying on top of the day-to-day tasks. And then you get thrown into this culture where it's 24/7, like, so.
So what advice would you give to, like, incoming medical students about imposter syndrome and how to recognise it?
I think, let's start with the recognising. I think it's that feeling of, you know, doesn't matter where you are, what stage, maybe in the lecture theatre, maybe your friends. It doesn't have to be in the formal setting. Maybe you're at home eating dinner sort of thing and it kind of sets in. I think it's just, it's that feeling of, you know, you owe other people for your success and you shouldn't be at the stage of training, doesn't matter what stage of training you are, due to the fact that maybe you feel like you've cheated the system or maybe you've missed something that other people have or bypassed something. I think that's what you start to think, that have I done something that other people, have I not done something that other people have? Have I missed something? And that's the sort of feeling that you get. In terms of dealing with it, I think it's hard to say to people who, you know, who haven't experienced it, but you have to gradually accept it. You have to look back on those small successes. You have to talk to friends about it, talk to peers about it. And it doesn't have to be peers in your like category. It can be consultants for me as a medical student or registrars, whatever. And you just got to talk to people about it and see how they manage it and accept the fact that you're here partly down to your own self as well. You can't get into medical school having not done anything yourself. And every little bit of thing you do, whether that's research, maybe you passed your exams, got into medical school, there is an element of yourself in that too. So I think you do have to owe yourself some credit. Even if you don't want to credit yourself 100%, there's definitely some credit for yourself there too.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I think, yeah, a lot of the incoming medical students will really appreciate, you know, the experience from that point of view and things that you've done that's worked. And I think those are all really good points to think about. Okay, so about looking ahead, you know, into the future, do you think this is something that will probably still creep up again at some point?
When yeah. He's a resident doctor.
I think it's something that you've got to balance very well. And I think taking your mind off it also relates to the last question by doing the things you love, being surrounded by people who will look after you, who will check in with you. It will reduce that because talking about it, taking your mind off it, doing stuff you do will take your mind off it. Because again, perception, but also perception due to the culture. I think in terms of the future, yes, it probably will happen. Yes, if I succeed and do something great, I'll still look back and go, do I really deserve being credited that, whether, you know, say I publish a paper or do an intercalation or do something really good, I will be like, was this all me or was there some underlying cause that maybe I've not actually formally recognised? Maybe I don't even understand or don't know what that cause is, but it's just I know something else was there. And that
like
might...
Like luck.
Yeah, the luck.
Magic.
The chance, yeah, sort of thing. So I think it will creep out, but I think the more you go through your medical training, probably the better you can handle it. Or if you maybe can't handle it, the better you can distract your mind off it by doing the things you love.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's so, so important, isn't it? Doing the things you love, making sure you keep your passions alive while you're, you know, in that medical training so you can be the best that you can be. So why don't you give us, what are the kind of things that you love doing?
Examples.
Well, yeah, the things I like doing, things that I enjoy, partly because I enjoy them, partly take my mind away from medicine. I do go gym in the mornings most days of the week. I like to learn in terms of just like learn, but non-medical things. So I read a lot of books. I like to learn languages. I'm half Ukrainian myself, so I like to learn a bit more languages and I just like to learn new skills. So my little brother's picked up piano, so he's trying to teach me, my 10-year-old brother, but just learning new things that aren't medical related, speaking to people, going out to meet friends, obviously at my uni or whatever, and just going gym and sort of stuff, and sports as well. And I think all those things are highly important. If that was one piece of advice, and it's related to imposter syndrome, to incoming medical students, is don't lose that, because in that first year, you're going to feel out of place. You're going to feel like, what am I doing? Am I doing the correct things? Because you've not actually had that previous experience in medical school. And I think if you drop everything else that you love and enjoy, it's going to make that worse for you and you'll probably have more of those feelings and that could have the negative effects on your exams. You're not going to perform as competently, whereas if you do all the things you love, you'll have that support system, you'll be happy whilst in medicine. I think that's very important.
Yeah. And I think even echoing the same thing for new FY1 starters as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as you've said, that first transitional period, it can be very challenging, and just holding on to those things that you enjoy, it will go a long way to helping you, you know, fend off those emotions.
Work-life balance, like you need to actually enjoy your life at the same time.
I think the medical professionals could put their very good organisation and admin skills to use in this one, in the sense that you definitely have to balance everything. I think using those organisational skills that most people, medical students, doctors will have, is that good balance. So yes, we're going to work very hard due to the nature of our careers, but at the same time, make sure you schedule in. It sounds very funny, but I schedule in like going out with friends, I schedule out learning or reading a book, I schedule, you know, going to the gym sort of thing. And I think that balance is going to be very important to maintain from the first day of medical school to your last day as a consultant.
I think you'd be surprised at how hard it is to actually balance or schedule things. But yes, completely agree. We do have to try to do that.
At least attempt it, yeah.
Attempt, yes.
Attempt.
It's a challenge that you just get, I think, better and better at handling, isn't it? As you get more experienced, as you progress your medical career. That's good. Is there any other thing that you think might be worth mentioning, or that you think someone might benefit from?
Probably a few just like key points and closing remarks to summarize, in the sense that it's normal. It's going to affect, I think the stats on the paper I read is like 50 to 70% through medical school alone, let alone post-medical school, residency, registrar training, whatever. I think it's going to affect quite a lot of people, even if it's hidden. So it's normal. I think talk about it. Find people who are a bit more senior than you that can help you. Credit yourself where credit is due, because every step will have you involved, whether you like it or not. So accept that success.
Yeah.
And just don't stop doing the things you love, because that's what's going to keep you going through such a long and vigorous career.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to talk to people, even at your own level, because you'd be surprised at how many people actually feel the same way as you do. And then you realize that you're not alone.
Yeah. And it eliminates that comparison as well, that you do all the time, that allows it to fester in the first place. So yeah, just communication, talk to people, talk to seniors, talk to peers as well, isn't it? And I think all that together will put you in good standing.
And unironically, talk to your CTFs as medical students as well, because they're a few years ahead of you, and they'll know what you've been through, and that helps a lot in terms of dealing those emotions. I think just being very grateful for everything in terms of friends, mentors, peers, whatever, but even CTS and teachers and junior doctors, residents, doctors, consultants, whatnot, just be grateful that people are checking in on you, and that's kind of the route you want to go down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Ivan. That was very, very...
Thank you so much. That was very well put together. Yeah, great discussion. Thank you for coming onto the podcast. It's been really lovely having you.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.